Good morning. My name is Cheryl Campbell, and our scripture reading today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, that kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Welcome to Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Kathy Hart, the associate minister here, and welcome. So glad that you're here on this Sunday after Easter. We had such a wonderful, joyous celebration last week, and today we are starting our new series, Faith in the Digital Age. Now, the digital age began probably in the mid-20th century, around 1970, when the intro of the personal computer began to enter into our homes. And it's an extension of the information age. So it's fairly new historically, but what you may not know is it really has been around a lot longer than we might think. Because really, the very first person, Moses, was the first person to use a tablet to download data from a cloud. So the digital age has been around a while, but what we're talking about, faith in the digital age, is this technology age, the rapid changing pace of technology. And when I think about all the changes that have taken place in my lifetime, let alone your lifetime, it's mind-boggling. Now, when I was a kid, I remember my dad getting that first personal computer in our house. It was a Radio Shack Tandy. I can't remember the series, but maybe you remember those. And it was the coolest thing. We were tech. We enjoyed that together. And we were also Trekkies, Star Trek. We loved the sci-fi stuff. So I remember the very first cell phone that I got was a flip phone. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. But fantasy became reality. And when you think about Disney and Disney's Imagineering and the changes that they predicted, what was supposed to be a dream and a future, Carousel of Progress had the history of technology, and then the last scene was what the future would be, and the future is now. They were predicting children were going to be going to school online. And they were predicting that they would have these virtual games playing, and that houses would be smart houses. You could say, Alexa, turn on the lights. I just turned on lights all over the place online. When I practiced this at home, Alexa had a fit over it. So we now have smart houses. It'll turn on our lights. It'll set our oven timer. It will change the television. And it's continuing to change. Now the latest technology is the AI, the artificial intelligence. I saw an article a couple of weeks ago on the chatbot. And this chatbot can have a human conversation with you, and it can even write a sermon. It didn't write this one today, just to let you know. But it could if I had a chatbot. So when I think about artificial intelligence, though, I remember movies like 2001 Space Odyssey, when HAL took over the space station, or The Age of Ultron, when Ultron wanted to take over the world. The computers, there could be a little bit of fear that these things could be taking over the world. So this is a rapid changing, and it's hard for us to keep up with, but there are many advantages to this digital age that we're in. We have information at our fingertips anytime we want it. You just have to simply ask Google. My problem right now is, by the time I reach for my phone to type in, I can't remember what it was I wanted to ask Google. But you know what? They're going to create an app for that. Right? so how does this impact our faith? What is faith in the digital age? Well, I have apps on my phone that it's the Bible app. I can get any translation I want. I have the YouVersion, which gives me reading plans for Scripture. There are prayer apps. We can Zoom online and have prayer groups and Bible studies. We stream our services for those who can't be with us. We are actually reaching people in Canada this morning. That's a blessing. We are reaching more and more people for Jesus Christ. What a gift. Now, one thing that is incredibly important for this digital age is our connection. Have you ever sat in front of your computer or your television set and seen that little buffering symbol? It is so frustrating to sit down and start to watch or start to work on your computer or maybe watching a worship service and it starts doing that buffering. The connection is limited. No matter who your provider is, Spectrum, Comcast, Verizon, they just can't seem to keep up with the need. So many people, so many devices are being tapped into that power source. And they can't keep up. Spectrum just gave us a new modem, and it's supposed to be higher power, you've got more connection, and I'm still waiting. Friends, we have a power connection that never needs upgrades, never needs an update, and that is Jesus. He is our power source. He is our connection. You know, when we lose our connection on the computer at home, they tell us that we're supposed to click refresh, right? So you click that refresh button, and then things reappear. But with Jesus, it is unlimited power. Jesus, Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What changes is us. And we have to click that refresh button a lot. I was sitting in a worship planning meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we all sit there with our computers, and we're entering the information, and I was like, I'm not seeing what you just entered. And somebody said, click refresh. You click refresh, oh, there it is. In this digital age, sometimes we can feel very disconnected, and we have to make sure that we click refresh and stay connected to the source of our power. It doesn't matter how many people are downloading from Jesus. He has the power, he has the strength for us all. Now, scriptures don't talk about the digital age. They talk about two ages, the present age and the age that is to come. The present age is obvious, it's where we are now. The age to come in the Old Testament was the messianic prophecies. When the Messiah comes and brings God's kingdom on earth, that is the age to come. For us, it is when Christ will come again to restore God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But here's the exciting part. Last week on Easter Sunday, when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the age to come began. That was the inauguration, the beginning, the first fruit of this age to come. And we have the challenge of living in both the present age and the age to come. We are in the in-between, in the both and. So how do we do that? How do we stay connected to our power source when there is so much other that is pulling us away? So let's look at our scripture that Cheryl read for us this morning from Romans chapter 12 again. In verse 1, Paul says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, the first part of this letter to Romans, chapters 1 through 11, is talking about all the things that God has done for us. The wage of sin is death. And Christ died while we were yet sinners to show God's great love for us. And in that chapter, he talks about the mercy that God has, the love God has, and how Jesus conquered death, and that nothing can separate us from that love. In chapter 11, it ends with a doxology, so you think the letter is over. But that's just the first part of it. As he talks about all that God has done for us, and then verse 1 of chapter 12 says, and so. In other translations, it says, therefore. And a friend of mine used to always say, whenever there's a therefore, you need to say, what's the therefore, therefore? So all of God's mercies, therefore, I plead with you. Other translations say, I urge you. And what Paul is really saying here, it's not a command, but he's saying, please, will you please offer yourselves to God? Give your bodies as a living sacrifice to him. This is our true act of worship. Now, it is not just our bodies that God wants. He wants all of us. He wants our mind, our thoughts, our words. To be a sacrifice. Today we are worshiping together corporately. But every moment of every day, your life should be an act of worship to God. Every thought that you have, every word that you speak, every action that we do should be honoring and glorifying God. Now, I sit and I look and I examine my day and I know I fall short and I have to click that refresh button hundreds of times to stay connected to God. I look at things that I've thought, that I've done, and I ask for his forgiveness and reconnect. And so, like Paul, I plead with you this morning to examine your life. Think about the things that you say and do every moment of every day. It's not just about being here for an hour on Sunday morning. That's not what our faith is about. It is about taking what we learn and living it every day. That is our true act of worship. And then he talks about in the second verse of Romans 12, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we are giving our lives as a sacrifice to God and we are staying connected and clicking that refresh button, then we know what his good and perfect will is for our lives. Now, I'm sure that you've heard the adage, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into a computer, it's what it's going to use for its calculations and spit it back out. One of the disadvantages of this digital age, this information age, is the amount of information that we are inundated with every day. We think that the sources that we are exposed to are reliable, but it's a lot of information. What can overload your computer is too much information sometimes. And it can overload our minds as well. When I work with people who have anxiety, it is because they are overwhelmed by everything that's going on. One of the suggestions I make to them is stop watching the news. Read the headlines, know what's going on. But we have this 24-hour news service now that fills us with constant information. And we have to figure out how to best process that. Well, we have the best processor. Click refresh and let Jesus be the processor of all the information that you are exposed to. But friends, there is a lot of garbage out there in social media, in blogs, in articles, and anybody can put anything out there. How reliable is the source that you are reading? They will entice you with false information. Scammers, that's how they operate. They put false information out there, they hook you, and now they've got your personal information. We need to stay connected to the source that never changes. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So when you're in doubt, when you're overwhelmed, click refresh. Let God sort out all the information and look for his truth. Don't be conformed by the world, but transformed by the God who loves you, who created you, and who works for all good in your life. So once we have given our lives over to God as a sacrifice, and we have opened up our hearts and our minds to allow him to do his transformational work in us, then the real work begins, right? What does that look like? What does a God-transformed life look like? Well, Romans, Paul doesn't let us down. The rest of chapter 12 gives us a lot of insight. The very next verses, Paul talks about now that God is transforming your life and your mind, and you're giving him that control to do so, he gives you gifts. And these gifts are to build others up, to build up God's kingdom, to build up the church. And we're to use those gifts for his glory and his good. And then Paul tells us that we need to love one another. In chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says this: don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. Paul goes on to talk about this, and in verse 16, he says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think that you know it all. And in verse 18, he says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Friends, when you look at our world, that is a message the world needs to see and hear. It is filled with violence and hate and dissension and anger. We are living in a both-and time in this present age and the age to come. Paul warns us not to be transformed by this world. Let us be people of the age to come. The digital age, through all its advantages and futuristic dreams, is part of the present age. And it can be a wonderful tool to help us grow in our faith. I use Bible apps. I have a daily reading plan on one of those apps. But it can also be a hindrance. Sometimes technology makes us a little bit lazy. I used to get, and I still do, devotions emailed to my phone. Pops up notification, and my routine, my spiritual discipline, was I would read each morning my devotions, even before I even got out of bed. But I started to realize I was becoming stale, and it was becoming a to-do list and checking off that to-do list instead of truly connecting to God. Because as soon as I finished reading my devotion, then I'd go to Facebook or the newsfeed. And that wasn't the intentional time. Our faith is not supposed to be easy, but sometimes this makes it too easy. So I've changed my routine. Now I get up, I actually open a book, and I read. I still do my online Bible plan because I need the discipline. It tells me what chapter to read every day. So it's a tool, but we can't let it drive our life. And if my routine changes, I'm going to click refresh again because I want to stay connected to my power source. That connection is the most important thing. And technology provides many opportunities for people to stay connected. But there's nothing wrong with going old school once in a while. One of the people in my Wednesday morning prayer group, which is a Zoom online prayer group, told a story a couple of weeks ago about how she keeps everything on her phone. Hundreds of scripture verses, notes that she's made about scripture. She uses her phone to text these scripture verses to family and friends. She's got prayer lists on her phone. Everything that she has for her ministry is right here. And then one day her phone died. So she went to the Apple store to figure out what was going on, and most importantly, to retrieve the data on her phone. And of course, a retired person walking into an Apple store, and here's all these young, tech-savvy people, and she talked to a couple of them, and they could not seem to help her. So then the manager of the Apple store comes out, 30-something-year-old, and he takes a look at it, and they sit down at the table, and he's starting to mess with the phone and try and figure out what's going on, and she explained to him the importance of the information that that phone carried. And she said, I have hundreds of scripture verses, notes about scripture, prayer requests. I need my, I don't care about the phone, but I need that data. The young man looked at the phone. He put it back down. And he reached into his back pocket. He pulled out a small little notebook wrapped in a rubber band. And he opened it up. And it was filled with scripture. Here's a 30-something tech-savvy who went old school because that's how he connects with his power source. It's not a generational thing. It's what is going to work for you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our power source, our power connection. And we have to stay refreshed with that relationship every day. So I, like Paul, urge you, I plead with you, please will you add one thing this week to refresh your connection to God? Maybe it's reading a scripture in a way that's different than you've done before. Maybe you need to refresh your prayer life. Warren Wiersbe says this about prayer. He says, we will surrender our wills to God through disciplined prayer. As we spend time in prayer, we surrender our will to God and we pray with the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. We must pray about everything and let God have his way in everything. Maybe you need to find a new source, a Bible study, a reading, a book. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you in your faith so you can have dialogue about scripture and grow and spur one another on. However you stay connected with God, that's between you and God. Just don't lose your connection. Click refresh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are our power source. Forgive us, God, when we lose our connection with you, but convict us of it. Show us the way to refresh our faith. Let us be people of the age to come and be a witness to your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray.